Well, those of you that are new with us, we've been doing a series on successful living through the book of Proverbs. We've been using our little living Proverbs. I would like to remind those of you that have been here to please remember to bring your living Proverbs. Many of you have got them. I've got 100 more coming, and Lord willing, we'll be here next week for those of you that don't have any. But if you've already been given one, you can get another one, okay? So make sure that you bring them back, write your name on it. I've been encouraged as I've talked to different ones who are getting into the habit of reading their proverb for the day. You know, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. There's usually 31 days in a month, and I read one chapter for every day of the month. And these things just fit in your pocket, fit in your purse. They're wonderful to carry around. So anyway, if you could share this with your neighbor this morning, if you have yours with us. Otherwise, you can just listen. You have your notes there. Those notes are for you to take take with you when you leave, or write anything on them you want. But you see, the title this morning is called Desire That Kills. Why don't we pray this morning and ask God to teach us? It's His Word. It's His Bible. He wrote it. And ask Him to really instruct us this morning. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. And we thank You, God, that You're concerned about making our lives a success. We thank You, God, that one so great as You, one who is so wise and understanding, who knows every in and out of our thoughts, every in and out of life, oh God, that we would respect You and do what You say, no matter what the standard of life is today. God, we ask You to instruct us and open our eyes that we might see wonderful things from Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This is a subject's been on my mind a long, long time, and I thought this week, since we have a little shorter period of time this morning, that this would be an appropriate subject. And since we're going through the book of Proverbs, the subjects of passion. The book of Proverbs probably writes as much, or maybe more, about the area of passion and affection than maybe any other topic combined. If you've been reading the little Proverbs, you'll learn that many of the first 7 chapters relate to passion, relate to immorality and the morals. Solomon, in fact, it's kind of interesting, I've kind of myself gotten the impression that Solomon is a little bit like Kenneth Taylor, the man who wrote the living Proverbs, in that he had a son, and he wanted to leave a legacy to his son. He wanted his son to have certain instruction for successful living. And so he wrote down a lot of Proverbs, and God inspired those Proverbs. God spoke those Proverbs to Solomon. Many of these Proverbs reflect Solomon's life and his lifestyle and what he learned. Solomon is speaking to you from his experience, and God is speaking to you through His infinite understanding. One of the main things Solomon told his son he was writing for is, he says, I'm keep these words ever within you, that they might keep you from a loose-lipped woman and from the prostitute. Today, you and I, if you look at your notes, you and I live in a world that is constantly bombarding us from all sides with its temptations and its allurements. There is a constant lust for more and more, but perhaps the greatest attack on the senses today is the attack on our affections. The sexual revolution in America has wreaked havoc in our country, leaving thousands of lives in ruin and confusion. Many of us may be experiencing this havoc right now in our lives. Solomon is very aware of the great problems that uncontrolled passion could bring to a person's life. Let's examine some of his timeless advice and see how we could benefit today. You know, it's interesting. What interests me is in America today, I happened to catch a news program the other day, and it was a Friday night deal. It was a national town meeting on ABC Nightline on AIDS, and it lasted 4 hours. And after I could stomach only about 40 minutes of it, and I decided if I stayed up any more, I wouldn't sleep the whole night. Not because so much I'm worried about AIDS. What really concerns me is the lies that go on relating to it, the misrepresentation, the deception. But during this Nightline, during this commercial, they had all these commercials on. Say no to drugs. Smoking isn't cool. thought, you know, it's just so interesting. We wouldn't have ever thought, maybe 7 years ago, of putting peer pressure on people that smoke. And now in many places it's illegal, against the law, to smoke in a public building, in a government building. I mean, that's prejudiced. And we see this pressure applied to the area of drugs. And we see this pressure applied to the area of alcohol. It's really an amazing pressure. But nobody is saying anything related to sexual immorality. Because we're taught in school that we're sexual beings. You're a sexual animal. You're not. You're a spiritual being first. A spiritual being first. That's what God says. And then in our society, we live in a society that is always, and you know, young person, old person, middle age, you know the constant allurement of the world around us today. I'm a testimony to the havoc that it wrecked in my life. From the time I was 16 to the time I was 21, it just wrecked havoc and confusion in my life. And I would say this, and I would go on record and say this, and I would actually dare anyone to prove this statement wrong, that there are more lives today in America in ruin, because of uncontrolled passion than drugs, crack, alcohol, and every kind of possible drug put together. More lives. We just don't consider it ruin. We just consider it normal that 50% of marriages end in a divorce. We just consider it normal that 90% to 100% of everyone who gets married has already been immoral before they ever got married. We just consider that the status quo. It's not the status quo. It's not the status quo of God. And it is leaving people's lives ruined. And I talk to them almost every day. I talk to Christians and they come to know the Lord and their lives are just followed through with uncontrolled passion. Uncontrolled desire, and desires are always out of hand. It's interesting how the devil works in our minds. I was in the other day, just to give you an idea of the allurements of the world. My wife and I moved up here about 6 months ago, and we live in this house in Old Shakopee Road, and it's a really nice house. I mean, we rent it, and we got it mostly because it was such a reasonable rent for this area. But it just happened to be a really nice little brick home. And really, I live on an acre of land with all these gorgeous pine trees, like my own arboretum. And the other day, we went to this Roman sailor in Edina, and our thinking was Edina, rich, Roman sail, people going to sell their little kids Levi jeans and their little, you know, Ralph Lauren polo shirts for the kids for $1 apiece. So, and there are those out there, but this one, it was a benefit sale. We got our wires crossed, and it was mostly junk. So on the way back, there's this an estate sale. So then I've never been to an estate sale. Let's go to this estate sale. So we go back, and we kind of go back in this wooded area, and then it opens up this beautiful lake, and there's this house, the most gorgeous house I've ever seen. For me, anyway. I mean, there's probably more beautiful houses out there, but it was everything, you know, just that roof came down, and on all sides, you know, and that old rough-cut stone. And these beautiful yard, beautiful trees, and the backyard had these built-in players for the kids. Not the cheapo stuff, but the kind you find in the parks that all our money goes to. You know, the big wooden ones? And then right behind the yard is a golf course. And there was 7 bedrooms in this place. And I went in this place, and I was just in awe. You know, I never had this happen before. And I was just walking around thinking, oh man, I could have my library over here, and my hotline to the president in this room. And let's see, I can entertain diplomats in this room. Oh, it was beautiful. And you know, by the time I got home and walked in, I thought I was walking into a ghetto. I'm really serious. I walked in the door. Oh, honey, I don't know if I can stand this anymore. Now, I don't usually have that happen to me. But you know, it's interesting how amazing the heart can just take off. Let me give you another example. Do you know why malls are so popular? One store at a time. And so you usually had your one-stop shop. You go to Southdale, and that's an impossibility. You walk in the store and you're just bombarded from every side, and everybody wants your money. So I walk into Dayton's and I'm looking there and I go, well, but I wonder if Kensington has a better deal on these pants. Well, I went to this store, and before you know it, I'm shot. Nothing wears me out like shopping. It just absolutely saps every strength and fiber in my body. It just takes it out of me. Mentally, I have to make the, mentally you're just, of course, the easy way is just to buy whatever you want. Then you don't have, it doesn't wear you out. You just, I'll take that, go to the next store, I'll take that. And they know that, you see, they know that. That's the whole idea behind a mall, is it sells more merchandise. And it's always in allurement for more. So, personally, I don't hang out at malls. It's not what I do for a hobby, Because of what eventually happens, it drains my pocketbook. But I want to share with you a verse in the area of our passions. And no matter what age you are here today, I'm almost 31, and I expect, frankly, at 50, I'm going to have the same kind of struggle against the flesh, against the world system. You know, it's interesting. I graduated from high school in 1975, and things were bad then, but I'll tell you, I cannot believe the things that are just openly promoted and talked about now. It's unbelievable. I mean, you were embarrassed to go to the drugstore and buy your own condoms. Today, they give them to you at school. So we live in a very, very different society today than we even did 15 years ago, 12 years ago. Things have changed. They're going to keep changing. They're just going to keep going from bad to worse, from bad to worse. But Solomon has some timeless advice, and I want to look at it for you today. You need this. You desperately need this. You let your desires get out of hand, and it will kill you. I want to look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 is page 14 in your little living Proverbs. It says, above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. Spurn the careless kiss of a prostitute. Stay far from her. Look straight ahead. Don't even turn your head to look. Watch your step. Stick to the path and be safe. Don't sidetrack. Pull back your foot from danger. I like to say this relates as much to men as it does to women, as much to women as it does to men. Above all else, Solomon says, this is the only place that I know of in Proverbs that he says above everything. In one place in the New Testament, that word Jesus says, above all else, cherish intense love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. In this particular book, it says, above all else, guard your affections, for out of them flow the sources of life. We don't teach young people that today. We give them the tools to let their passion do whatever they want and get away with it. And you're setting yourself up for tremendous disaster in your life. Tremendous. Some of you have already experienced that. Some of you, probably even after what you hear today, will still experience it in your life. But I hope that you take heed. You need to guard your affections. And here's what this means. It means to guard, means to protect, to look out for, to take precautionary measures. Above anything else you do, be choosy about what you love. It will affect everything else in your life. You know, I've known this. I've known guys that are so, and most of you guys, you can relate to this, are so crazy about women, you can't get it off your mind. I'm going to read you a verse. This is a mother's advice to her king, her son, who is the king. In Proverbs 31 and verse 2, he says, O my son, whom I have dedicated to the Lord, do not spend your time with women, the royal pathway to destruction. Am I against women? Those of you who know me real well know that's baloney. I'm not against women, and God's not against women. He made them. But as a young person, old person, the royal way to destruction is a myriad of women. And Solomon knew it. He had 1,000 wives. And at the end of his life, when he lived all of his life, he said, when all was said and done, fear God and keep His commandments. When I was 21, after God got a hold of my life, one thing, the first thing I decided was no more women. And I don't mean that like it sounds. I thought maybe someday I'd get married. But what I'm saying is, you and I both know where the whole dating scene leads. Every one of my dates always led to immorality. Every one of them. And today, that's the norm. Back then, you were a little more gentlemanly. Today, it's promoted all the time. all the time. It's promoted in music. It's promoted in television. And you would be hard-pressed to find any song on the radio that is not promoting love as the title. What really means is lust. And one of the reasons, there's a band right now, it's becoming one of the most popular bands today, it's called U2, is because that isn't their message. But by and large, you would be hard-pressed to find anything else pressing you all the time. We live today in America in a constant state of sexual passion and arousement all the time. It's very difficult to be any other way. Very, very difficult. You go down the billboards. It sells everything. It sells new cars. It sells toothpaste. It sells Trident gum. It sells Wrigley Spearmint gum. Just about anything. Jump. Jump. Remember the Bounce commercial? You ever listen to the song by the Pointer Sisters? It's called Jump for My Love. I mean, come on. You know, I'm no idiot. And these people know that it sells. And we have created in society today an animal, an uncontrolled animal. You need to make sure you control it, or it will ruin your life. It won't just give you a little bit of pleasure. It will ruin your life. And it is possible to control it. It is possible. Just like walking into a house, I just say, hey, you know, it's absurd. I can't buy this house. I've been married 8 years. And in any one of those times, those 8 years, anyone, including myself, anyone else, could simply go out and be unfaithful to their wife. Anybody. Today that's standard in society. I made a choice. I made a decision. That's not an option. That's just not an option. And I tell myself that all the time. And I guard my mind with these truths. And if I didn't, I would be like anyone else. I'm no super incredible individual. I love my wife. I love God first. And I'm determined to do what he says, even if it kills me. That's your protection. You need to guard it. You need to prevent. Take preventative measures, precautionary measures, or it's going to get you. It's going to get you. You can't decide. You can't go out kind of like, you know, unprotected. And then you get into the heat of the situation. It'll always get you. It'll always get you. And I've talked to many a young person that had that very thing happen to them. Wasn't their plan at all. And all of a sudden they got in a situation. And it just continually brought ruin in their life. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 24. Page 19. I'm just going to read this to you and then I'm just going to comment on the last few verses. Start with verse 6. I was looking out the window of my house one day and I saw a simple-minded lad, a young man lacking common sense, walking at twilight down the street to the house of this wayward girl, a prostitute. She approached him saucy and pert and dressed seductively. She was the brash, coarse type, seen often in the streets, in markets, soliciting at every corner for men to be her lovers. She put her arms around him and kissed him with a saucy look. She said, I've decided to forget our quarrel. I was just coming to look for you, and here you are. My bed is spread with lovely colored sheets of finest linen, imported from Egypt, perfumed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come on, let's take our fill of love until morning, for my husband is away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him, and he won't return for several days. So she seduced him with her pretty speech, her coaxing and her wheedling, until he yielded to her. He couldn't resist her flattery. He followed her as an ox going to the butcher, or as a stag that is trapped, waiting to be killed with an arrow through its heart. He was a bird flying into a snare, not knowing the fate awaiting it. Listen to me, young men. And not only listen, but obey. Don't let your desires get out of hand. Don't let yourself think about her. Don't go near her. Stay away from where she walks, lest she tempt you and seduce you. For she has been the ruin of multitudes. A vast host of men have been her victims. If you want to find the road to hell, look for her house. That's about as strong as anything in the Bible. I know a few places that are so poignant and so strong is this particular passage in the Bible. There's a few insights here. Number one, in verse 25, you can control your desires. You can. By God's grace and by God's power, you can control your desires. Number two, You don't have to think about her. You don't. You know, where was a time, and there's a time today when girl watching, guy watching is the national pastime. I mean, that's the national pastime. You think people go to the beach just to lay out in the sun? You can do that in your backyard. You think people go to the beach just to get in the water? Go sometime. Watch what most people aren't doing. Most of them aren't in the water. You can go just about anywhere else in the city. I mean, it's a national pastime. All the time. You go to some of the video places in this town and you can't even hardly find anything but R or X-rated sleaze in one form or another. Our society is thriving on it today. Please don't let it thrive on you. Don't let it thrive on you. I want to go through four little steps here. Number one, be very careful what you think about. You know, my son, he's 6 years old. And lately, the last couple nights, he's come down and I've been downstairs usually reading or something, I've been in bed, and he's come down crying. And he said, Dad, he said, I'm really having a hard time getting to sleep. He says, I just been having the most awful thoughts, scary thoughts, all kinds of thoughts in my mind. And so I sit him on my lap and I say, well, son, so let's pray about it and then let's sing. So we pray and then we sing. Then we pray some more and then we sing. And I tell him, son, if you ever have this problem, when you're up in bed, you just sing. Don't you worry about waking your sisters up. You just sing. You sing. You sing. And it works. Works for him. It works for me. Sometimes we go around thinking we don't control our emotions. Did you know your emotions don't have a mind of their own? This is the only mind you have. Your desires don't have a mind of their own. This is the mind they have. What do you feed them? What do you feed them? There was a time in my life when I only fed them one thing. Passion. That's all I fed them. And it ruined the first 4.5 years of my marriage. And until I made some major, hard, fast decisions to change what went on in my mind, I would not be here today, and I would not be married today. It can rule your mind. You need to let God rule your mind. You need to let these truths rule your mind. It will eat you away like a cancer. It will just fester and fester and fester and ruin your life. So you need to be real careful what you think about. Now, how do you be careful what you think about? Number two, be careful where you go. Be really careful where you go. Especially, you're just going to have to take precautionary measures. You're going to have to be careful what you see. One particular time I can think of, this was about 1.5 years ago, maybe 2 years ago. I think my little girl is about 4.5. I like James Bond. But we all know what James Bond is famous for. Not so much solving crime as he is finding all the women of the world. So we're watching this James Bond show, and I think it was, I forget the name of it, one of Roger Moore's newer ones. And we're sitting there, and here comes the sleazy part, you know. Now all these girls run around. And my little daughter, she goes, Daddy, she says, this isn't right. This is, these people, those women aren't dressed right, and that's not right. And I thought, oh, man. You know? Like, come on, Celeste. It'll be over in a minute. Then I thought to myself, I thought, you know, if I give my daughter an excuse right now, she'll never forget it. And I will have made an impression on her that she won't ever forget. And I said, Celeste, you're right. You get up, you go turn it off. You're right. Off went the tube. Since that time, I don't watch him anymore because I know what my kids aren't idiots. The first verse that came to my mind was the verse that says, he who gives way to the wicked is like a polluted spring in a trampled well. And I thought, God, could you imagine me giving way to this and then trying to give my children life and feed them spiritual truths? I would have just muddied the water that they're going to have to drink. And I've never forgotten that. So, you need to be careful where you go and what you do. I'm even real careful about what beaches I go to, and frankly, I very seldom go. And especially now that I'm in this city. I happened to go to one the other day. I didn't think anyone would be there. I went there with my children and my wife. And it was the wrong time and the wrong place. I just could not believe it. Well, all you got to do is go to the JCPenney swimsuit section and then go get a 1975 JCPenney's catalog. See if there's a difference. Well, we're surrounded by it all the time. So you need to be, don't be, don't be like this simpleton, who naive guy who's walking at twilight down Hennepin Avenue. You know, that's just not the place to be. Number three, be careful what you listen to. This would involve your music. This would involve television. I'm just saying this for your own help, for your own advice. You got to be very, very careful what you listen to. What you hear often enough, you will believe. And what you listen to often enough, you will become. And that's the truth. And I'm just sickened by these psychologists who know that and refuse to stop immorality in this country, the problem with teenage pregnancy, right at the source, and that's the radio station. Right at its source, all the time, you and I are bombarded. Bombarded, I just want to use your love tonight. Man, they must think we're idiots. We are idiots. Most Americans are. They're like a cow being led to slaughter. And it's only a matter of time, and we are reaping the havoc today. And I just laugh. I'll tell you, I sit and watch the newscast, and I laugh. Like God laughs, who says, you haven't listened to me, and someday you're going to turn to me, and I'm going to laugh at these jerks who want to hand out condoms and pills to kids and think that's going to solve our problem. A doctor wouldn't even recommend a condom to you for birth prevention. He'd tell you it's very, very, I mean, it's dumb. There's a lot better ones. And we recommend it to stop the greatest disease of our century, maybe of our lifetime. People got to be out of their minds. It's because we've refused to believe what God has to say. You cannot refuse to believe what God has to say and live. You won't live. Somewhere along the line, it will get you and it will wrap its entanglements around you like an octopus and choke off all the life that's in you. All the life. It'll choke off all the life. The last point, never forget what it will cost you if your desires get out of hand. 1 hour of uncontrolled passion has ruined many a life. Did you know that? Do you know how many teenagers' lives are ruined because of one mistake? Did you know that? Yeah, I mean, can you imagine that now? The things we teach today in the public school, and most young people, maybe it was 1 hour, maybe it was their first time and we got teenage pregnancy running rampant because no one taught them they could say no. No one told them you must say no. No one told them it's wrong. And now look what we've got. We've created a monster, and it's really out of hand. And it will never. I want you to have no false hope here today when you leave today. There is no hope for this country. There is no hope for the AIDS dilemma. There is no hope for the gonorrhea, for the syphilis, for the teenage pregnancy, apart from obedience to this book. It is a joke, and it is a sham, and it will never change. God's ways never fail. God's ways are meant to give you success. And you young men and you young women, you determine to wait on God to show you where He wants your mate. You don't have to go out and test the water to find out which one's going to be a good one. I never did that. You don't have to do that. It's only been in the last 40, 50 years we've done that. And you can see the results in our country today. You can see the results in our world. Keep wisdom, keep discretion, and good judgment. And remember not to let your desires get out of hand. Control them. Control what goes on in your mind. Change what goes on in your mind. I think of it like a faucet. It's the easiest way in the world. You just turn off the hot and turn on the cold. That's all there is to it. I have the devil throw things at me all the time. That's fine. You just put up the shield. Some of you aren't very practiced at it. You just got to practice more. You just put it up and the arrows don't get in. You have to build a wall, a fortification there. Or you're like a defenseless city and any desire that comes along will ruin your life. Whether it's spending, whether it's material things, or whether it's especially passion, it will ruin your life and it will eat away at you and eat away at you. God is the satisfaction for every living thing. It says in Psalm 145 that He satisfies the desires of every living thing. That means emotional, that means sexual, that means physical, that means spiritual. God is the satisfaction, and if you don't learn to get your delight from Him, I guarantee you, on 8 years of experience, that a mate never will. Marriage is not the solution to passion. God is the solution to passion. God is the solution to uncontrolled desires. And then, and only then, will your marriage be a success. But if you don't have that now, and you go into marriage now, you're headed for ruin. You're headed for some big time trouble. Just remember that.